let us hear now from John's first letter. He wrote three of them. So we'll hear from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this way, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Could probably just read that and say we have a sermon this morning. John preaches. But if you'll allow it, I'm going to open myself up a little bit to y'all this morning. I'm going to practice what we've been talking about in our Daring Greatly book study. I, dare I say it, am going to be vulnerable. So, here is my secret. I actually really, really like the movie Love Actually. Not just that, I'm a sucker for a good romantic comedy in general. As the weather gets colder, the days get shorter, is there anything better than bundling up on the couch with a cheesy love movie on? In the opening scene of Love Actually, Hugh Grant's character has a monologue while a montage plays of people reuniting at the airport. It has all the heartwarming music included, don't worry about that. He says, whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed, but I don't see that. It seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. If you look for it, he says, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around. Now really, it is a nice sentiment, right? Yet what we have in this opening scene is an increasingly common portrayal of love. It glosses over the hard stuff a little bit. Love is dramatized, a kind of cheesy sort of feeling that defines our favorite rom-coms or Hallmark movies. Movie love is perfect. It's clean, everyone is happy. We use this word love a lot. Yet I fear that it is a concept that has been rendered not only abstract, but also trivial. Love is often watered down, convoluted, stripped of its messiness and complexity. I watch these movies where love is revealed more through words spoken than action taken, and I think of the Avett Brothers lyrics, "So you want to be in love like the movies." But in the movies, they're not in love at all. And with a twinkle in their eyes, they're just saying their lines, so we can't be in love like the movies. Should have brought my banjo and played that this morning. And as 1 John reminds us, no, we can't be in love like the movies. this text in 1 John 4 is one of the key texts in the entire Bible to helping us understand both the nature of God and the concept of love, how it shapes us, how it invites us into relationship with God and with each other. It begins, "Beloved, let us love one another," not "Beloved, let us love God." This instruction about love acknowledges that love and the love of God is an act of embrace of one person to another, because love is of God. What we find in this 1 John passage is one of the often quoted scriptures of our tradition, and it points to one of the deepest held truths in our faith. God is love. And to know God and to love God is to love others. As John tells us, we can't say we love God and hate our neighbor, otherwise we're liars. The commandment that we have is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The end. We know this, right? However, as beautiful as this text is, the temptation looms large to turn this concept of loving God and loving neighbor into a romantic sentiment, an individual feeling, or some task to add to our to-do list. Indeed, if we're not careful, we find ourselves wanting this love in 1 John like we want to be in love like the movies. The author of 1 John is writing to a church in turmoil. People have left the community. John is afraid more people might leave with them, and so he's writing to a letter to the people that have stayed to encourage their continued faithfulness to the movement. In the broader context of these letters, love takes a back seat to fear and to anger. For example, just 4 verses before this famous essay on love, John is going off about how the people that have left are the Antichrist. Yet he goes on to write, "If you say you love God, yet hate your neighbor, then you're a liar." My first thought is this is hypocrisy. But my second thought is that this is quintessentially human. John is angry at people for leaving, afraid that more will follow, and is wrestling with what it means to love in the midst of division. Love is messy. And at the heart of this text is John's radical claim that God is love, and that as a result, God's people are called to live that love. The question underneath this is, if God is love, how are we going to respond? I'm reminded of a story by Fred Craddock, who you may have heard of. He's a well-known Disciples preacher. He was stuck once in a pretty significant snowstorm. Y'all know about snowstorms around here. The city was shut down, and his host couldn't even make it to the hotel to pick Fred up for breakfast. So for breakfast, Fred found himself at a crowded bus depot cafe about 2 blocks from his hotel. He walked ever so carefully as he was hungry, and they were open. As he entered, somebody scooted over and let him sit in a booth, and a big man with a greasy apron came over to the table and asked him what he wanted to eat. Not knowing, he asked to see a menu. "What do you want with a menu?" he said. "We have soup." "Then I'll have soup," he said, which is just what everybody wants for breakfast, is soup. The man brought the soup, and Fred says it was an unusual-looking soup. It was gray, kind of the color of a mouse. He didn't know what was in it, but he took his spoon and he tasted it. "Awful. I can't eat this," he said to himself. So he sat in a crowded cafe, warming his hands around the bowl. Then the door opened and someone yelled, "Close the door!" And she did. A woman came in. She was middle-aged, had on a coat, but no scarf or earmuffs, and someone moved over and let her share the booth. The big man with the greasy apron came over, and the whole cafe heard this conversation. "What do you want?" "Bring me a glass of water," she said. The man brought the water, took out his tablet, and repeated the question. "What do you want?" "Just the water." "Lady, you gotta order something." "Just the water." The man's voice started rising. "Lady, I've got paying customers here waiting for a place. Now order." "Just the water," she said. "You order something or you get out." "Can I stay and get warm?" "Order or get out." So she got up. And the people at the table where she was seated got up. People around them got up. The folks that let Fred sit at the table got up. Fred got up. And they all started moving towards the door. It was as if someone said, if she can't stay with us, none of us will stay. Okay, the big man with the greasy apron said, she can stay. And everybody sat down. He even brought her a bowl of that soup. Fred asked the man sitting next to him, who is she? I never saw her before, he said, but if she ain't welcome, ain't nobody welcome. Then Craddock said, all you could hear was the sound of people eating that soup. Well, if they can eat it, I can eat it, he said. He picked up his spoon and started eating the soup. He said it was good soup. He said he ate all of that soup, that it was a strange soup, that he doesn't really remember having it. But as he left, he remembered eating something that tasted like that before. That soup that day tasted a little like bread and like wine. More often than not, love isn't glamorous or cinematic. Love is unconditional, standing up in solidarity with someone, making it explicitly clear that they are welcome when others say they are not. Love is holding hands when praying together in moments of grief. Love is time spent preparing that favorite potluck dish. Love is getting our hands dirty in the garden so that people have food to eat. Love is Club 456 and Alpha and Omega and creating spaces for our youth to feel comfortable and to show up just as they are. Love is going on mission trips and building habitat houses and being present with those facing the realities of brokenness and injustice. Love is not just saying all are welcome at the table. Love is the act of pulling up an extra chair. Love is God, and to love God, we have to love our neighbors. Love is not a concept known abstractly. It is an action lived concretely. We know God in the fullest and most authentic sense only when the love of God flows through us. And we know that love is worked out in relationship, in the messiness, in the mundane, and in the unexpected. John reminds us, act lovingly, even if imperfectly. This General Fund campaign season, we continue to ask ourselves, what shall we bring? And I imagine we can identify with the divisive context that 1 John is written in. It is in the midst of that that we remember. God loves each of us. And in response, we love God. And to do that, we have to love our neighbors. And no, we don't want to be in love like the movies. Love is not a script we read. Love is a life we live. Love is an action. It's messy, it's relational, it's authentic, and it can be downright surprising. So may God's unimaginable and unconditional love come alive in us so that the divine love can become real and visible in God's world. It is such a gift to be loved and to know so deeply in our souls that God is love. How will we respond to that love? Amen.